I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
All right, Rhoda. I want to tell you why Mary needs this apartment more than you do. Why she's moved here to Minneapolis.
No.
Tell me.
A beautiful romance just blew up in her face. For 2 years, through his internship and then his residency at the hospital, Bill let her almost support him.
Phyllis, how about if I asked you very nicely to stop this?
After 2 long years. Tell her what he said, Mary. Go ahead. After 2 long years, he said,
why rush into things?
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves.
You're gonna make it after all.
I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the classic TV series, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Director of over 100 episodes of the series, Jay Sandrich, will help navigate this particular excursion into the annals of classic television. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
Is Jesse Donald Knotts?
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we travel back to 1970, a year that introduced a bright, warm ray of sunshine to the cold climes of Minneapolis. Today, we are proud to welcome a television legend, Emmy Award-winning director on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Jay Sandrich. Mr. Sandrich not only directed well over 100 episodes of the series, but has been at the helm of some of the greatest television series over the past 50 years, including Get Smart, That Girl, The Odd Couple, The Bob Newhart Show, The Cosby Show, The Golden Girls, and many, many more. Over the next few segments, Jay Sandrich will help us relive virtually every aspect of this classic television series and reflect upon his incredible body of work, which includes many of the Mary Tyler Moore Show's finest moments. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to join us for a trip back to visit the old gang at WGM News, feel free to read your teleprompter as we slip from the restraints of the present and into a very special transmission of the past. Jay, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Well, thank you for that introduction. It's hardly a legend. Just a lucky man to be around when I was.
Hey, Jay, what events led to your decision to pursue a career in television?
Well, my father had been a director. He directed features. I was 13 when he died, so I didn't really get a chance to know, you know, much about the business, but I was raised in Beverly Hills and went to UCLA, and when I was in college, I got a call from the Directors Guild telling me that they were thinking of about to change the policy that the sons of members, not daughters, but the sons of members or past members could become assistant directors, get into the guild. So I took advantage of that, and then I went into the Army, and I was in the Signal Corps, and my big decision when I got out was to go into features or television, and at that time, all features were on location. Everything was done on location. And I had a wife who was pregnant, and I decided I better stay home, so I went to work in television.
Well, you were assistant director on a lot of shows in the 1950s. What were some of the shows that you worked on?
Well,
in the 50s?
What happened is when I was in the Army, I wrote a letter to the head of production at Desilu, a man named Argyle Nelson, and said, when I get out of that service, I'd really love to come to work for Desilu, because all the shows that I really enjoyed were the comedy shows. And so could I come and talk to you? And I get a letter back saying, yeah, sure, come on. As soon as you're out of the Army, come on in. So I met with him, and in about, I don't know, we talked for about 15, 20 minutes, and he said, when can you start? And I said, well, tomorrow, if you want me. And actually, I think it was 2 or 3 days later, but it turned out he had been my father's assistant director.
Wow.
On some pictures. Well, I didn't know that, and so that was really had nothing to do with me. That was just a wonderful thing that my father had done for me, and he, Argyle Nelson, had really cared about him a lot. And one of the shows I was put on was I Love Lucy. Now I'm 24, don't know anything. And I'm a second assistant on I Love Lucy. I did that for about a month, and then the season ended, and I went and worked at another studio, and they called me and said, do you want to come back and be the first assistant on Lucy?
Wow.
And I said, sure. It turned out they had taken the first assistant and made him an associate producer, and now they're giving this 25-year-old kid a chance to be first assistant, and so these were two just lucky breaks.
What were they like, Lucy and Desi, working together, and what were they like
working together? They were great.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately was there at the time that the marriage was starting to fall apart, so I really have no knowledge of what it was like, the earlier years. But it was a very difficult situation. But Lucy had tremendous respect for Desi, and I knowing today if I'd known then what I know today, I would have been aware that these two people really were in love with each other, and always were and always would be. But they just couldn't live together anymore, and it was difficult. And Vivian Vance was lovely to me. But Lucy and Vivian didn't talk to Bill Frawley. So it was not a happy set by any means.
How important was Desi Arnaz to television in terms of the technical side in the revolutionary advancements that he made in situation comedies?
Yeah, I think from my point of view, he probably was the most important person in comedy up till the time that they did the Lucy show. They'd always done the shows live in New York. And let's say the show goes on at 7 in New York. And then when it comes out to the West Coast, and they'd photograph it off of the tube and put it on the air at 7 in California in the West. And the quality was awful. But since Desi and Lucy had a home in Los Angeles and wanted to stay here, they convinced the network that they could film these shows, the comedy shows. And somehow Desi figured out a way with a great cameraman named Carl Freund how to take the three cameras and film the shows. So they could film them, 6-8 weeks before they went on the air, have time to cut them, send them back to New York. They could run them in New York on film at 7, and then at 7 in California, they'd run the film. So the quality was great. And the networks sought so little of the idea of doing it on film, because they didn't do reruns or anything in those days. They sought so little of it, they let Desi own the show. So he owned the film.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oops,
and, but
for them.
It revolutionized how, certainly for comedies, it revolutionized the way it was done. Plus, he was just a brilliant businessman. He, Desilu started out, and it was one show, one very successful show, and then they rented a studio, and then eventually he bought that studio, and eventually they combined Desilu and had a big major studio, and it was a tremendously successful company that Desi built. Lucy really had nothing to do with the business. It was all Desi. And then when they got divorced, he sold the company to her. And, you know, it did fine under her. But it was really Desi who was the creative genius of the show.
Well, another show that was filmed at Desilu was I'm Dickens, He's Fenster.
Right.
Which was created by Leonard Stern. You worked on the pilot. How did that come about?
Well, what happened is I was... I guess I had a couple of weeks off. I'm the first assistant director on the Lucy show, and, you know, sometimes they take time off. And Leonard was doing this pilot on the studio, and so the studio said, you know, go down and be the first assistant director on the pilot. And it turned out that just a top director, Arthur Hiller, who is really a wonderful, wonderful film director, who credits I can't even begin to talk about, but, you know, he was a top director. And he was directing this three-camera show. And he didn't really understand the system of three cameras. It could come from one-camera film. So I was able, you know, to help him on ways of shooting it. Plus, because I always had a big mouth, I would give my opinions on things that didn't really involve me, but, you know, story and comedy. And Leonard just was wonderful. He just was so open to this young upstart saying, well, what if you tried this, and what if you tried that? And sometimes he'd listen, and sometimes he'd ignore it. But he remembered me about 3 or 4 years later, when it came time to do Get Smart. So that was a big, big break for me working on I'm Dickens, He's Fenster, even though I certainly wasn't aware of it at the time.
Well, working on Get Smart, what was the routine and environment like on Get Smart compared to other shows that you worked on? Were there any major differences? What was it like, that experience?
You're making me sound like this was not a fun business. Get Smart, in many ways, was one of the most dysfunctional sets I'd ever been on because of Don Adams, who tremendous, wonderful talent. But he never felt that anybody should have laughs but his character. Mm. And so Leonard and Buck Henry, who was the story editor and co-creator, would write these wonderful scripts, but sometimes the heavies or the bad guys would have the jokes. And so we'd be sitting looking at the film that was shot the day before, and all of a sudden Don would have these jokes. And if he got that, if he knew that information that he was using for the joke, and he couldn't play the ends of the shows. It didn't make any sense. So they'd have to furiously rewrite. And, you know, we'd say to Don, you can't do that. You can't take those jokes away. But he always wanted them. And Leonard and Buck were amazing, just an amazing pair, because Leonard sort of was the story mind. He would come up with these really interesting concepts, which had never been done on television. And Buck would do the rewriting, the writing, and I would pretty much do the editing and casting, oversee those things, and production.
Was it difficult for him, Don Adams, after Get Smart, because he was so typed?
Well, I don't know. Don's career did not go well after Get Smart, and I was not involved. I know several years later, or many years later, I don't even remember how long, and I was now directing Mary Tyler Moore, and Leonard called me up, and he was doing a pilot with, the pilot, of course, is the first show of a series that hopes to be sold. He was doing a pilot with Don and wondered if I would direct it, because at that time, if you know, they'd usually make pilots if I direct them. And so I said yes. And Don was an entirely different person and terrific to work with. But I don't think he ever really caught on after that show.
What ultimately led to your association with the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Well, part of it was that I had been, when I was the assistant, when I was an assistant director, I went from Lucy to being the assistant director on the Danny Thomas Show. So I had two real mentors in my life. One was Leonard Stern, and the other was Sheldon Leonard. Two just amazingly brilliant story minds, and I just learned so much from both of them. So I was on the Danny Thomas Show as Sheldon's assistant for 4 or 5 years, and one of the shows that we did was the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I got, of course, to know Mary, and I got to know her future husband, Grant Tinker, who was with the advertising agency at the time. And then when it came time to do the Mary Tyler Moore Show, there was another very successful director who had done the Van Dyke Show. For whatever reason, turned it down. I think he was John Rich, and he was offered All in the Family, and he decided to do that. So, again, it was just a very lucky circumstance that John decided to do All in the Family instead of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Grant and Mary had remembered me and offered me this part. So it was just good timing for me. I was very fortunate.
Well, when the pilot for the Mary Tyler Moore Show aired,
yeah,
the characters' personalities were quickly established, as in the case of Mary's job interview with her prospective boss, Lou Grant, as we'll hear in the following clip.
What religion are you?
Mr. Grant, I don't quite know how to say this, but you're not allowed to ask that when someone's applying for a job. It's against the law.
Want to call a cop?
No.
Good. Would you think I was violating your civil rights if I asked if you're married?
Presbyterian.
Look, miss, would you try answering the questions as I ask them?
Yes, Mr. Grant, I will, but it does seem that you've been asking a lot of very personal questions that don't have a thing to do with my qualifications for this job.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well, yes.
I hate spunk.
Jay, what was your experience working on the pilot? And
well,
did you ever think that we'd still be quoting the I hate spunk line after all these years?
Yeah. Well, it was the most different script I'd read. A lot of comedy before Mary's show was sort of a setup line and then a joke, a setup line and then a joke. The Mary Tyler Moore script, if you read it and didn't really understand comedy, there weren't a lot of laughs in it, but it was so brilliantly written. I mean, the writing was so good, and the characters were so strong. So when I read this script, I just was thrilled. And we spent some time casting. The hardest part casting, I think, probably was Rhoda. We just couldn't find anybody to play that part. And Valerie came in. So we knew we had a great couple there and could not find Lou Grant. And Ed Asner came in and read, and nobody was very impressed, and he left. And he came back about 5 minutes later and said, I just gave a terrible reading. Can I do it again? And he did, and the rest was history. So we had, the only trouble we had was we did an audience preview about 3 or 4 days before we were going to film. And the air conditioning wasn't working. The sound wasn't working. And the audience, they tried to do some special cameras for that, some video cameras, and they were sort of blocking the actors. And it was just terrible. It was just terrible. No laughs on it. And so it was a very depressing show. And we go back to the office, and Alan Burns and Jim Brooks and Grant Tinker and myself, and Marge Mullen, who was the script supervisor, and we're sitting there saying, "We don't get it. We think this is a really wonderful show. We loved it, and nobody knew what." You know, we all knew it was a disaster, but nobody wanted to rewrite it. Not because the Jim and Alan were afraid to rewrite, but we just felt things hadn't gone the way they should. We later learned about the sound and the cameras, and it was a very gutsy move of everybody, including Marion Grant, especially Marion Grant, not to rewrite. And we did the same exact show Friday night instead of Tuesday. And it was just a wonderful experience. It was the only time that I've ever done a show that you felt was hated. I despised it. And then you do it again, and it was a major, major triumph that night.
Well, Jay, we're going to have to take a little break, but okay. We'll be back in a moment with director Jay Sandrich, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.